These are some scenes from Atalanta, Acts of God. About an hour, maybe. When I met him, he was pretty old, but he still had the resistance. He said to me, "All ball bearings are alike. They are distinguished by their likeness. It's hard, even for me, when I am looking at many ball bearings together, to know whether I recognize their familiarity by some characteristic, like the way light falls on them, or by the fact of their likeness." I said, "May I smoke?" He said to me, "You could smoke marijuana if you want to. Really, at my age." He said to me, "I run the house on the hill. Down below in the valley is my factory. The factory makes ball bearings. Clustered around the factory compound are houses of modest design that I paid to have built. The people who live in them work in my ball bearing factory. I call them my subjects." I said, "It's hard to tell, even with the courage of success, whether the form that seizes your imagination in the desire to create something apart from yourself has as its reason to try out some magic, hoping that the magic will work, or to repeat some magic, knowing that the magic will work. In the one, there is insatiable desire for change. In the other, there is insatiable desire for mediocrity. If there is a sublime reason, what could that reason be?" He said to me, "My subjects are under the law. They are the law. We have the law in common. It's almost the only thing we talk about. The law is the sublime reason." I said, "You're kidding." He said to me, "No. The ball bearing business has been smooth for me. It was my calling. My ball bearings are patented in my name. They are the best ball bearings in the world." Later, I touched the work. It had nothing to do with maintaining life here on earth. I mean, the edges. Think about the age of fine touch. It comes and goes. There is the safe cracker who files his skin so he can feel the tumblers drop. And there is the man who killed Trotsky. Nothing is known about him except for his extraordinary sensitivity in touch. When you look at the work, you can't see the edges. You can only feel them. And what's more, you can just feel them. And there is something else happening, the mood. You don't do that work in a good mood, if you know what I mean. Exhilarated, maybe, but wild abandon, no. The mood has been required of you as work, and the power of the indignation is concentrated like the mass of a collapsed star in the making of the edge. He said to me, "I have lost all respect for the notion of work. You can argue that it's inevitable, but nothing satisfies the requirements of respect." We talked a little bit more about ball bearings. One of the others said, "Uh-huh," about every 15 seconds, waiting for the women. The singer is upstage right. The band, grouped around the organ, is stage left. Downstage, there is dancing. Segue to song, no, never, no, no, never, no, never again, no, never, no, never again. Nothing you can ever do will make it all right, no, not for you. No matter how you ask me, no, I'll never give in again. I only had one heart, you broke it in two, and now there's nothing you can ever do. No, never, no. Never again. No, never, no. Never again. Begin, of course, with once upon a time, though more and more now. That finally, that notion is doubtful to be widely held, especially as it joined among us in our tiny, tiny circle to finally, more and more now, there are strange lights in the sky and the sense of a past known through its moment to moment like meshing with the present is held in doubt. That's just as well. It was a boring idea anyway. More and more now they come to me and say the moment to moment like meshing with the presence of a whatever is not necessarily man, the past. It could be, for instance, another present meshing with the present, or, God forbid, the future meshing with the present. The meshing is what's got us so upset. The meshing is what we gave a name to. We gave to that meshing from our own need the name of the past. We could have called it something else. We could have called it, for instance, everywhere. What is the name of consciousness? Everywhere. You ought to be an employee of the state. No, never, no. Never again. No, never, no. Never again. Everywhere, everywhere speaks. Everywhere, son of everywhere, speaks. What is this everywhere all about? Where does it come from? Answers follow. Deep down in the deep downness of where it comes from, dash, there is a sort of pause, and I want to talk about a picture as if in the mind, but now it's gone. So to continue, deep down in the deep downness of where it comes from, certain problems have not been solved. For instance, when we are young, and among the young ones that need to be taught, first lesson is that speech is different from meaning. Otherwise, it would be impossible. Who could speak if every word had meaning? Boy, the deep downness would be deep down then. So there is singing, which is one form. How do I say this? It's so simple. Listen, right beneath the brain, there is a thing we call the throat, and you can teach it to anything. It's one of the great ones. You ought to be an employee of the state. Nothing you could ever do will make it all right. No, not for you. No. One of the things is what we call vibration. Now, vibration feels good, you know. And do you know why? It's because in that most precious part of us, the brain, we are all connected. You heard me. We are all connected. We are connected, each one of us, to all of us, and that is the source of our suffering. Get back, worms. We are all connected, and there would be no more of us. It would be vast and empty, and the beaches would stare back at the stars, and there might be other things, but there would be no more of us. Exit us, if there were no connections. Now, those connections have to be watched over, apparently. This is the way I've got it figured. Dash. There is another picture in the mind. And if I can say it fast enough, I'll get it down. Sorry, going again. Where was I? Connections. Oh, yeah. You ought to be an employee of the state. No matter how you ask me, no. I'll never give in again. So to protect those connections, which are our sargasso sea, boy, that's a hard one. You are our sargasso sea. Nice going, man. We have to talk to slow things down. I mean, the connections would blow up if we did not have talk to slow things down. Or think of it this way. If we did not have talk, or vibrations from the throat, the brain would just sit there like a lump of pudding only, looking only, and gradually the connections would just waste away, and there would be no more connections, and gradually there would be no more of us. No, I think talk is just an agitator. You heard me. It's just an agitator. And we have learned that, whoa, modulate those connections by differing the sounds the throat makes. How's that? I almost got it. Whoa, modulate those connections and the parts of the modulation, without a better word than parts, are what we call words. In other words, the words are ours only or ours alone. And that's why we have to keep on talking, and that's why listening is so unimportant. And we don't need the words between us, only the connections, which are modulated by the words. Got it? You ought to be an employee of the state. Only had one heart. You broke it in two. And now there's nothing you can ever do. Now, you can see that this is complicated. For instance, in order to remember that the words have no meaning, this is Carl's idea, except the ongoing actions of our making of the sounds of them, but this is my idea, that mostly in them, and hopefully in us, they coincide with what's going on anyway in the network of the connections between us. That is, as modulators, coincide as actions with what's going on anyway in the network of the connections between us. We set a few aside, as it were, that can really slow things down, that seem to have meaning because they are as actions in the making of the sounds of them, attached again to other actions perceived as actions in order better to know them because they are so vital, to use a word precisely. The words we set aside are called foul language. They can really slow things down. You ought to be an employee of the state. No, never, no. Never again. No, never, no. Never again. Now, when the band gets together, it's like church, because out of the modulation of the connections, which is words, we meet another kind of thing, which is music, which is words slowed down, and I mean slowed down. Think of it this way, slowed downness is our salvation. Boy, those connections would overheat and blow up, and gradually there would be no more of us. So when the band gets together, it's like church. Now, you can overdo the slowness, I know. God knows, rolling in the dust is just one form. There is also what we call, quaintly, prayer. But slowness is the ballgame. And that's what the band is all about. They get together and figure out how slow to play. Now, one time I worked with a band that gave up machinery altogether. Those fuckers would talk all at the same time. And what happened, of course, was that slowed downness got lost as a reason to get together, and fastness got in there, just like the idea of the devil in the church, that everything started flying then. You ought to be an employee of the state. Nothing you could ever say will change it now. Please go away. So to my mind, music is like swearing or prayer, which are mostly the same. This is hard to say. The devil is in the church. If on the one side there is music and swearing and prayer, and those are beneficial in that they add slowed downness to the actual communications between us and cut down on the wear and tear on the connections between us all, then on the other side there is fastness and the devil is in the church. Fastness gives up on the possibility of coincidence. I mean coincidence between the actions of the modulation and what's going on anyway in the network of the connections between us. In fastness, there are other possibilities. I don't know how to name them, but they're there. Finally, in fastness, we approach the speed of the moment to moment like meshing itself. And what do you suppose is there? Wild abandon, that's what. I think I used those words right. You ought to be an employee of the state. No matter how you ask me, no. I'll never give in again. Does the meshing continue in the wild abandon? Or is it replaced by something else of permanence? I mean, is there a return from the wild abandon? Or is it permanent? And what about the usness and the connections? Where will that all go in wild abandon? Or will it go? Is there another usness that doesn't need the icon of coincidence? Is there immaculate conception? You heard me. The attachments of the words that most work like words and slow things down the most to the actions of so-called vital functions are something. I don't care what the machinery is. Foul language is the most like language, right? And wild abandon is something else. And there are probably not two kinds of us at all. There's probably just one kind. And we have established the idea of two-ness to preserve speech, which is the best we could come up with before music and then prayer to protect the connections. You could feel the truth of this in the connections. You ought to be an employee of the state. I only had one heart. You broke it in two. And now there's nothing you can ever do. These are family stories from Max. The one about Jody has been suppressed. Is in the hands of a private collector now. The old lady said the guy had talked her out of it, but she lied. She sold it. She wanted to get rid of it. We found that out when we got our hands on the old lady's books, her financial stuff. After she died, she got a bundle. It was a good one about some dragon swallowing up the earth or something. I don't remember exactly. Jody must have been a whiz. She got from freckles on her face to the earth being swallowed almost without anybody noting it. Almost without anybody noticing. She was a whiz. And the old lady died. Shirley Liu. Shirley Liu. They curled her. Cheryl. They worried about Cheryl. She kept speaking softly about living and partly living, oppression and luxury, poverty and license, minor injustice, like a warning of some sort. Living and partly living. It was confusing to them because they confused Joel and Cheryl. Not a confusion whose cause is in a waste of endurance, not a confusion simply of fatigue, not requiring a long time, no. They had only to turn away for a moment, only a moment, and the two would be confused in their mind. Jody with her dragon of the great waters swallowing up the earth, and Cheryl with her constant warnings, living and partly living, oppression and luxury, poverty and license, minor injustice, a warning of some sort. Living and partly living. They kept confusing the two. When she was away for a while, one day, they found in her dresser drawer a note to someone. I received your wonderful gifts. They came as an inspiration to me when things were not so well. I cannot listen to most music now. Nor can I look at painting, nor can I read poetry. It is trivial and without intelligence. As though the spirit of goodness and adventure had left our common consciousness. As though we are slipping once more into a kind of mindlessness. Slipping into an imaginary idea of acceptance. As though we should be unquestioning. As though the revolution has ended. And now the children can be happy in their unhappiness. I have always found in his work an inspiration. And now I find in your work an inspiration. Thank you so much for your gifts. Love to you both. They didn't mention that they had found the note. Same with Sissy, here today, gone tomorrow, nimble, man, everybody on the bus, that kind of stuff, populars all get out, president of the student council, captain of the basketball team, great dancer, actually knows the steps and irrepressible, you know what I mean? Irrepressible. Sing in the Mikado, the lead, man, some Japanese name, she just a junior, don't do it again though, Mikado, me, come on, she say boring, I mean really. Really boring. Look out, all those fools look at you. You know what they're looking at. They like the Japanese stuff. Weirdos. She more into chords. Heavy guitar. Little drums. She have to. Little piano. She have to. She sang. You hardly understand the words. The teacher got right up to the amps. Say some of the words not ladylike. Sissy just laugh. Sissy got a nice laugh. She know where she going. The boys all say, hey, I going with her. They don't know what they talking about. Nobody keep up with Sissy. Now Sissy got a DC address. Senators, that kind of stuff. She dance book is full. Sissy guys in the wrapped up heads say, Sissy available? Sissy available? My word. The tall man says, you call that painting? The short man says, everybody want to paint Sissy. Men did fruit in a bowl. People on the beach in fancy hats. People don't look like people. All that stuff. My friend Mr. Desno says, do paint Sissy. He said, I've dreamed you so much. You know, real. Sit to me for dead, reading the breathing body, kissing the mouth, making a voice. Come on, lie again. I dreamed you so much, my arms, grossing to use them, grossing my chest, and a sluggish shadow, perhaps in a bend, the shape for your body, for your face, what's real for, and what's haunted me, and what governed me, for man, he says, yes, will sure become shadow. Oh, scale, oh, feeling, I dreamed you so much, surely no more. Teeth that wake up, I sleep on a field, spread all the forms of leaf I love, and you don't know what I want to, want it to be day, you know, coma, what's my fascin, touch with sitting on satin, you know, dreamed to you so much, had you so much, tied you so much, slay you so much, what are you, fat am, you're pretty no damn thing, if you said to me, I'm fat am, to me, I'm fat am, she may want to see, she may want to die, I mean, she want to breathe, she want to see, or you lie, or something like that, I don't remember all the words. The tall man says, what do you call it? The small man says, I have dreamed of you so much. The tall man says, that'll sell. The small man says, maybe just so much. The tall man looks away. He knows a psychoanalyst in L.A., a 300-pound junkie. Get him to buy it. Or the guy that won the Nobel Prize. Invented some machine for physics. Plays the violin and a string quartet. Only plays Mozart. Thinks he cultured. Mozart, you know, he's a jerk. His pal is serious. Got the consolation prize. His pal is jealous. Got the consolation prize. Run the accelerator. With the guy's machine attached. Talks to himself at night. Keeps his wife awake. Another jerk. And you don't know the terrors of science. In the academy, you know, guys like this. Get the Nobel Prize guy to buy it. Is Sissy available? Wait a minute. I have to go into the back room, check my books. Yeah, it's available. We call it so much. What do you think? I'll have it framed, send it right over. You like Mozart, huh? Sissy like Mozart, too. Name means he converted to Arab, one of those guys in the wrapped up heads. Sissy available. Okay. Our various ideas about work, our politics, are just ideas about how to get men to work. Women have to work anyway. Willard took to the one we use like a cat takes to water. When it occurred to him that there had been some mistake in judgment and that he had missed the chance to make baseball the main source of energy in his life, he more or less retired. I got there just after this had happened. There was a pall about the world that you could cut with a knife, even the victors, the noble family, pausing briefly in the field, recognize that you can overdo victory sometimes. Defeat too harsh changes everything. Willard taught me, playing catch in the driveway, a useful idea, the meaning of immaculate conception, the virgin birth. Men are more or less superfluous. Scientists are working on Willard's idea now, but Willard got his idea through baseball. A few years after I got it, I was strolling through San Juan, out of work and thinking, a natural combination, and I was reminded of Willard and the lesson. I saw two guys playing catch in a driveway, full stop. One of them is baseball itself. I was almost too embarrassed to watch. Playing catch is so personal. I went home and told everybody I'd just discovered a Puerto Rican who was going to set the world on fire. I found out later it was Willie Mays. You wouldn't miss it even if you didn't care about baseball. The certainty was there. Approaching the idea scientifically, two physicians in England, if that means anything, think that virgin birth happens all the time. I read this. They stumbled on the idea. That word is always used in stories about science. And are devoting their lives to testing it. Making love is one thing, and making babies is another, and there is something we don't understand. Their idea is not accepted in science as of now. Strangely, it doesn't bother me at all. It's not even astounding what you think about it. What does bother me is the problems it creates. How do you show your intentions if intentions are what the coincidences are all about? And what else could it be? Do we have to choose between life and baseball? Are we two from two or one from one? Arithmetic and coincidences? I can't figure out why there are so many. We need arithmetic to keep the cat in the bag. I mean, it couldn't be just everybody working it out for themselves, some deciding for baseball and others for more kids. Apparently, we're not that smart. Anyway, the Pirates didn't sign him up. He had good intentions, but no curveball. It fell through for Willard, and he went into the drift as when a curveball doesn't break. He dreamed, he read the newspaper, and he did other things. He moved to the desert. He lost the wife he had taken to the desert with him. He moved back to headquarters. He saw peach pits on the windowsill turn into flying saucers. Sorry. He saw a flying saucer where others saw a peach pit. He pioneered TV. Before I knew the meaning of it, when as a boy, I was still in the confidence of women, and they would let me hear them talk to each other. One of the funny stories was that Willard had fallen in love with a ballerina in a red dress that only he could see. The set didn't even have to be on. And my mother's sister came home from the factory one afternoon and said to Willard, "Willard, if you don't turn that TV on when you watch it, I'm going to throw it out. Check that against your curveball." And he died. So long, Willard. Two women enter, screen left. One says, "Gosh, it was crowded in there." The other says, "Hope you've missed us." One says, "What kind of mischief have you been up to?" The other says, "You know them. They're just waiting for the singer to come on." One man says, "Just talking." The other said, "Here's the singer now. You got back in time. Would you like to dance?" Segue to song, "You Gotta Hold Me Tighter, Yeah. Looking in the mirror now, yeah. Trying to get up my nerve, yeah. Trying to figure out what I'm gonna say when I get close to her, yeah. You gotta hug and hold me tighter, yeah. I'm getting away, yeah. You gotta hug and kiss me, yeah. A little every day, yeah. You gotta say you love me. You gotta say love. Never, 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 never go away, yeah. You gotta hold me tighter, yeah. Or I cannot stay, yeah. Looking in the mirror now, yeah. Trying to get up my nerve, yeah. Trying to figure out what I'm gonna say when I get close to her, yeah. You know, you call me over, yeah. Don't let me in, yeah. My love is blowing all around me, yeah. Like a hurricane wind, yeah. Like a hurricane wind, yeah. You know you're breaking my heart, yeah. You know you're breaking it time and time and time and time and time again, yeah. You know you've got me, dot, 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 yeah. And I cannot win, yeah. And I cannot win, yeah. And I cannot win. It is important that Miss Atalanta and the It is important that Miss Atalanta and the Tennessean have different points of view. He speaks from the great past of the feeling of the difficulties of the surface. The slowly speaking nature of his presence has in it looking as if the past of trust and hearing to guide him, as that past came into the moment to moment like meshing with the present, had lost its totalness through a slowly wearing away process. And through another kind of attrition, in this case numerical or statistical, which is the attrition not of the past itself specifically, that is, not to our knowledge, lost as an attrition of the gift or propensity, something in him and his essence, but an attrition of the specifically required quantity of instances of experience. Long since, because facts of hearing had become, one supposes, the external facts, long since, because facts of hearing had become, one supposes, external facts, more than internal facts, as if previously, throughout the progress, through what is called the past, because of its moment-to-moment like meshing with the present, the world had changed, and there became more facts of hearing outside than inside. There were more external facts. Willard, if you don't turn that TV on when you watch it, I'm going to throw it out. Looking in the mirror now, yeah. Trying to get up my nerve, yeah. Trying to figure out what I'm going to say when I get next to her, yeah. The declining numerator, which is in fact the constant, but in the presence of an accelerated denominator. No, this is wrong. How can one think of ratio in that way? Loses its value. This is the idea of noise. The past trust in hearing to guide him, remarkable in its moment-to-moment like pressing with the present, is lost through attrition of two kinds, and more, there is simply the present, which is increasingly noise. Noise turns the mind inward. Increasingly in noise, there is lost the trust in hearing to guide one through the difficulties of the surface. The difficulties of the surface are both lost and obscured in that order. Willard, if you don't turn that TV on when you watch it, I'm going to throw it out. You got to hold me tighter, yeah. I'm getting away, yeah. You got to hug and kiss me, yeah. A little every day. Miss Atalanta, on the other hand, spoke as if there were no difficulties of the surface, as if the surface were infinitely smooth, as if, long since, the surface itself had worn away. It could be said, thinking this way, that Miss Atalanta knew more of the sphericity of the surface, if the scale were such, but none should argue from that concept. The scale is not such. The scale is too grand. Even were the sphericity absolute to our sense of it, and we needed neither seeing nor hearing, as if, then, is the concept that describes the difference between them. How to say this? Miss Atalanta was different from the Tennessean throughout the past, as we know it, from its moment to moment, like meshing with the present, from the beginning then of herself through all times of the past, or she became different. Because of what? Willard, if you don't turn that TV on when you watch it, I'm going to throw it out. You got to say you love me, yeah. You got to say you love me, yeah. You got to say love never, 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 never go away, yeah. Transgression is a subject of interest, but first, more of our thoughts should be directed to the difficulties of the surface. In many parts, the surface is disturbed. It is both disturbed, to use the word to speak of, the nature, its nature of disturbing us in our consciousness of it, and has the past of a disturbance of it in it. In those parts, the trust in hearing as a guide is essential. Seeing as a guide is less than adequate. Thus, looking takes on the quality of an action, which is the quality of intention put to effect inadequately. Willard, if you don't turn that TV on when you watch it, I'm going to throw it out. You got to hold me tighter, yeah, or I cannot stay, yeah, or I cannot stay, yeah, or I cannot stay, yeah. No, listening as the act of hearing is more ridiculous than looking as the act of seeing. Thus, looking in its inadequacy is less understood than listening in its inadequacy. For instance, imagine some triumphant pioneer of land use, a farmer, dedicated to agriculture and all that agriculture represents for us, on the very frontier of the conversion of the surface, looking westward from the easternmost vantage point of his land. In this image, the setting sun is almost indispensable, ironically, to say, quote, everything in sight is mine. You laugh from your vantage point where the surface is disturbed with ruins, recognizing that he means not the setting sun itself, or the invisible stars, or the clouds of water oceans in the sky, or the sky itself, but simply the surface as a concept materialized, God, how ironical this is, by the notion of the boundary. Willard, if you don't turn that TV on when you watch it, I'm going to throw it out. Looking in the mirror, now, yeah. Trying to get up my nerve, yeah. Trying to figure out what I'm going to say when I get close to her, yeah. Everything in sight is mine means simply that the presence within the area defined by the notion of the boundary of animate beings of any sort is arbitrary in the opinion of the triumphant pioneer. That is, his idea, as we understand it, even though, remember, he is imaginary. The pygmy, as an archetype, at least, would never say in our imagination, quote, everything in hearing is mine. These are difficult points of argument. Dealing with only with archetypes now, remember mine as a term of speech for the pygmy we imagine means, quote, I am of it. And as a term of speech for the pioneer of land use, the farmer means, quote, it is of me. This is one way of expressing a difference between Miss Atalanta and the Tennessean. Willard, if you don't turn that TV on when you watch it, I'm going to throw it out. You know, you call me over, yeah. Don't let me in, yeah. My love is blowing all around me, yeah. Like a hurricane wind, yeah. Remember, too, that they are in love. They have brought to their love the differences between them. She never thinking about her part in his life. For instance, I am not to blame that listening, the grandmother, for whom too the surface is beyond infinitely smooth, who has no longer either seeing or hearing, and in her wisdom resists the Tennessean in his nature. Or the apparent progress from seeing and hearing in her own nature, more, as we have said, progress from hearing as a guide, even than seeing, though that argument has not been laid to rest, her excellence. He never thinks, on his part, for instance, I am not to blame that then too listing, the great icons with the writing on it, and what the writings mean embedded in the language of the place of the difficulties of the surface, or his sureness in the awareness of the surface and its difficulties, which sureness is brought forward always, eventually, at least in history as we know it, even among those for whom the surface is apparent, infinitely smooth. Willard, if you don't turn that TV on when you watch it, I'm going to throw it out. You know, you're breaking my heart, yeah. You know, you're breaking it time and 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 time again, yeah. This is a classic case. Their love has in it the quality of defiance, which should be of interest to us. He has, in his way, defied, turning the language of the place of the difficulties of the surface inward, and defied turning as though toward the source of his secrets, which, remember, would not be secrets except as they were shared in some degree by others, the numbers and relationships among which are expressed in the architecture of the resemblance to the icon. He has, in his way, left home with both the language and the secrets. Not that these are endangered. No one would believe him anyway. But there is attrition, as we have noticed, and she, in her way, defied the apparent progress from seeing and hearing in herself. It could be said that she has turned as though toward the source. Willard, if you don't turn that TV on when you watch it, I'm going to throw it out. You know, you've got me now. Dot, 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 yeah. And I cannot win, yeah. And I cannot win, yeah. One more. I don't know, Bob. This is hard. I said, excuse me if I seem distracted. I'm having trouble with my machine. It's noisy in here, isn't it? He said to me, it's always noisy in here. I said, I'm interested in the problem of frustration and its relationship to music. It must exist, and the relationship must be present in the music. For instance, the frustration of having to think about music in any but an absolutely boundless way. Would you say a few words about this? He said to me, it forces the music to represent the objective world symbolically, to recreate another version of the objective world, to tell us stories that we already know. I said, what is the nature of the compromise? He said to me, there is something about the need to compromise your imagination because the fulfillment of your imagination is desired, is denied you, that at a certain point transforms the act of making music into a simple, sometimes even cynical, manipulation of our common experience of what is the objective world. The act of compromise distracts the musician from the more sublime purpose of music, which is to create a second objective world. I said, are there feelings attached to this compromise? He said to me, the act of making music can become loathsome. When you find this loathsomeness in music, in your own or somebody else's, the reality of the compromise wakes you from the reverie of your imagination and can endanger your physical existence. The shock of realizing the distance between the intent of your imagination and the possibility of hearing that music in your lifetime is not borne easily. I said, do you believe that this attachment to intent arises in music only in connection with some special use, or that there is other kinds of music that can arise without intent on the musician's part that are in fact pure evocations of the nature of the various materials of the objective world? He said to me, the objective world is not pure, and so pure evocations are redundant. No, all music arises from intent. If you have the chance to examine carefully in yourself the act of making music, you will learn that at some measurable or knowable distance in time before the beginning of sound from the objective material, intent arises. At that moment, you must force your consciousness forward, as it were, into the inevitability of the surprise, which is shock, unless the medium of communication between your intent and the objective world material is perfect, or else you swoon, we are confused, and believe that there are many kinds of music because the distance in time between the moment of recognition and the moment of reality varies in people according to their strengths and needs. I said, do you believe that one can become inured to the shock? He said to me, one can become inured to the fact of the reality, but the reality itself is always new. I said, do you believe that the musician's intent can be joined to reality ever in any circumstances? He said to me, yes, it is possible in certain states of emotion or consciousness to transcend actuality and its illusions, the physical resistance of the objective world, and to affect the objective world to a degree that an ephemeral, fleeting, second objective world is created out of the materials of the first, but that is rarely achieved. Mostly where our subjects of the law and our actions appear to be against the law. I said, is the struggle with the law manifested in every aspect of the making of the music, or are there law-abiding aspects and others that are confrontational only because of the indiscretion on the musician's part, because of a transgression? He said to me, music is the enactment of the manifestation of the struggle with the law on a continuous scale of continuous attempts, that is, where the attempts are related to each other symbolically through a pattern imposed on our memory. Music is the history of our struggle with the law. I said, can music then substitute itself for the enactment of the struggle in other parts of our lives? He said to me, that is its most common use. I said, the musician then becomes socially symbolic, enacting restlessness. He said to me, yes, in order to be a law-abiding, there has to be a place where one can rest. One can be law-abiding only in safety from the law. I said, is the listener different from the musician? He said to me, yes, that is the paradox of music and listening to music. We are observing other persons like ourselves, but the consequences of their actions do not accrue to us actually. Their actions are understood only in retrospect. The consequences may accrue to us as wisdom, may even endanger our relationship to the law, may change our minds. But for the listener, the act has already come into existence before the law is recognized. The listener is in safety from the law. I said, why is there so much misunderstanding on this point? He said to me, we have as people the same problem of misunderstanding in other areas of our lives. I said, were one to suppose a perfect world, would music have a place in that world? He said to me, to suppose a perfect world is crazy. There's only this world, and music is only one version of our part in it, though a powerful one, powerful because of our physical needs to make sounds with our bodies. I said, what is the basis for these needs? He said to me, this is not fully understood. I believe that the similarity between the rate of transformation of the physical world in sound and the rate of transformation in our consciousness in the chemical body fascinates us, especially when those transformations are enacted apparently simultaneously in the same body. I said, would you describe that fascination? He said to me, intent has a chemical equivalent which is governed by or governs the ongoing transformation of our consciousness. When that transformation is apparently synchronized to the transformation of the physical world in sound, the illusion is a kind of meshing, and we are dazzled by the rate. I said, what is the importance of the rate? He said to me, our experience of time is our understanding of the law. There are chemical processes in the body which appear to be instantaneous. Possibly, were our intelligence greater, we could trace them, but they appear to be instantaneous. No matter how we set up the experiment to measure the profile of the process, its change in time or over time, there's always the nagging doubt, which in itself can be tested in proof, that the experiment is self-referential, that our deepest knowledge received as inspiration or intuition and affirmed in introspection is that the process is enacted out of time and is absolved from the law. I said, are there forms of activity that dramatize aspects of the chemical process other than the rate? He said to me, yes, we are concerned with both the profile and the consequences. The consequences are dramatized in our architecture, or how we express our relationship to each other in symbolic space. And the profile is expressed in dancing. Suddenly, the noise abates, and the space where we have been speaking is filled with music, and he begins to dance. Segue to song, Giving Love Away. Sorry. Giving Love Away. Okay. I've arranged the concert in the middle of France. We're on the train from the Gare to there, going backward or going forward, I forget. The pressure is enormous, and I forget. They do not speak to each other. Facing each other, they sit near the window, not looking out, not looking in, not looking up, not looking down, not with the eyes closed, looking straight ahead. Both of them, with their eyes open, looking straight ahead. They wear the black glasses. They pull the hat down over the eyes. They're looking straight ahead with the eyes open and the black glasses and the hat pulled down over the black glasses and over the eyes. They do not speak. We got people saying, oh boy, giving love away. I have the tickets on the train going from the Gare to there. I have bought 3 seats and we are in the seats. And I forget where we are going in this little room. The pressure is enormous. They are looking straight ahead. They are looking at each other through the black glasses, at the black glasses of each other, or they are looking at the middle. There is enormous sensation of pressure in my mind. They have divided this little room exact amount. The plane of the division runs through the exact middle, from the middle of the door, little door, through the middle of the window, and out infinitely beyond on either side, I think, like an enormous blade, scraping across the middle of France at sometimes 50 kilometers for each hour, scraping in front of itself the intangible debris of generations of misunderstanding. The blade scrapes. I have not passed my time this way before. We got people saying, oh boy, oh boy. The scraping of the blade across the middle of France is sometimes 50 kilometers for each hour, scraping in front of itself the intangible debris of generations of misunderstanding, deafened my ears to everything except the beating of my heart. The blade is held erect exactement between the planes of the black glasses and between the arcs or lines of intersection of the planes of the black glasses and the planes of the hats pulled down. The plane is held erect by the enormous pressure in this little room. I think that I am too young to understand that the concert has begun. I have the feeling of a mistake. I forget about the plane of the between them, I forget about the people of the concert, I just think about the music of the concert, and I forget about the people. Mon Dieu, I have the feeling of mistake. We got people saying, oh boy, oh boy. In the before time, I think, they hold the plane between them in their other people that came before in the manner of a knife to cut the waters and the mountains of the ocean floor from east to west. I forget about adventure. I forget about the stories of the music that I hear. I am with too much excitement about the mysteries of the music I hear. I am with too much excitement about the music of the stories. I forget about the stories of the music. I forget about the knife that cut the waters of the ocean and the mountains of the ocean floor and all of the fish and all of the things of the ocean floor held erect exactement between the 100 pairs of eyes, and I think then without the black glasses, but the eyes black of themselves in blackness, hard and misunderstanding in the adventure, and I have the feeling of a mistake. We got people saying, oh boy, oh boy. This concert that I have made in the middle of France, with him and him, first one and then the other playing, if I allow myself an idea that cannot be thought in France, that first one and then the other playing is in the mind, mon Dieu, one upon the other or one below the other, is again the possibility, as we say, of the plane. But this time, not as in the after times, then there are other people that come after, when the plane is not held between them, but above them, them holding it in common up as they have learned holding it hundreds of years or thousands of years and have learned and have helped carving the curve of space, this time carving the curvature of Earth and all of what is there. I think that this possibility, as we say, is dangerous somewhere over the heads of the audience, and I will be there also. We got people saying, oh boy, oh boy. Sometimes there are two things in the mind or brings to mind. Time is time. That is a good one. A thing is a time. Sometimes there are two times in the mind. In France, we speak of before and after. In some other places, it is different, maybe. I speak of, par example, this concert that I have made in the middle of France with two parts, the above and the below, that I think is the mistake I have the feeling of, and I speak of the blade that is held erect exactement between them, scraping across the middle of France at sometimes 50 kilometers for each hour, scraping in front of itself the intangible debris of generations of misunderstanding, and that is one thing in the mind, two parts of one thing in the mind, and a time in the mind. At the same time, in the mind, I have the idea of the story to be made public now, that at this time of the discovery that I am not inadequate at all, that I am of myself to be reduplicated again and again with the change that was the desire of my feeling of my inadequacy. We got people saying, oh boy, oh boy. Finally, under the pressure of the scraping of the blade across the middle of France, scraping across the middle of France at sometimes 50 kilometers for each hour, scraping in front of itself the intangible debris of generations of misunderstanding, and under the pressure of that blade is held erect exactement between the planes of the black glasses, I have to discover that I am not inadequate at all, that I am of myself to be reduplicated again and again with the change that was the desire of the feeling of my inadequacy. That was something. I am not inadequate at all. My rededication, to use a word we seldom use in France, is part of the story. Mon Dieu. This is the story of the music. This is the story that I have forget about. This is the adventure. And now the blade is held erect exactement between them scraping. In the before times, it was held erect exactement between them cutting the waters of the ocean. Then it is held above them in their history of earth and sleeping, carving the curve of the outside space into the sun, and I am not inadequate at all. Mon Dieu. We got people saying, oh boy, oh boy. This is something to celebrate, I think. A great feeling of relief comes over me. There is still the feeling of a stake, to be sure. We are only in the middle of France, to be sure. And there is still the concert, to be sure. There is the dangerousness of the blade carving the curvature of the earth over the heads of the audience. And I will be there also, mon Dieu. But I am not inadequate at all. Think about with me yourself that I am not inadequate at all, and you will lift your arms and say out loudly to the world, I am not inadequate at all. What was that? The blade moves for an instant from its scraping. For an instant, there was a silence of the scraping of the blade across the middle of France at sometimes 50 kilometers for each hour, scraping in front of itself the intangible debris of generations of misunderstanding. And in that silence, my ears hear, such as they do in the black oldness of the way of speaking of these two men, which is unusual to the way of speaking that we use in France, crisp and drumming, of not too long ago as speeches makers. Good to see you, man. Good to see you, man. That is what I hear in the silence of the scraping. Mon Dieu. We got people saying, oh boy, giving love away.